This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguars Central for Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. The Ketchman is here. Jeff Lagerman is here. Joe Fortunato is running the board, and eventually we'll get him to say something. John D is here also. You don't know him. Don't worry. You don't need to. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Joe Fortunato has his promise broken out. The Joe Fortunato, Hey Joe bobblehead doll.
Yeah, there's like multiple Hey Joes in here.
You mean that, multiple personalities or?
That doll, Joe? That doll is haunting.
I like it.
If I put that next to my bed.
Oh, don't do that.
And pointed it at me, I'd never sleep again.
They did a great job. I mean, they got the nose, they got the eyes, they got the old 1970s or late 60s Jim Morrison leather pants. I mean, that's 70s Joe.
It has a kind of quality like
they look leather.
They're pleather.
Pleather?
Yeah. I know her.
It has a haunting quality like that doll of George Costanza's mother on Seinfeld. Remember that episode?
I didn't ever realize you were such a big Seinfeld fan, but for like four straight weeks, you've made a Seinfeld resident reference on the show. Well,
I was crazy about the show.
Okay.
And this, oh, it's looking at me. it's disturbing.
All right, Loggy, now tell everybody what you're going to do with that.
That is a full-blown Nerf gun target.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
You can always assume that you hit it because the head will say, yes, you hit me. Yeah,
I thought maybe that was going to go offshore and be on some wreck somewhere.
Put that on a tree stump and blow the head right off.
No, then you can't use it again. That's a perfect Nerf target. Good
all
stuff.
Right. Here we go, folks. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you'd like to jump in on the program, OTAs, they get out to tomorrow and then a couple of days next week, and then they are done.
Three next week. And then the dead zone officially begins.
But it's a short dead zone, right? I mean,
well, no,
not really. It's just a moved later dead zone.
Yeah, you're not going to call. Right. They've moved their strength and conditioning program closer. The end of it closer to the start of training camp.
Training camp. The rescheduled report.
They go to July
2nd,
right? And they go to July 16th with their program.
No one's going to not call. That time,
dead zone.
Not the dead zone because they're lifting weights.
Right, I'm trying
actually,
to be optimistic.
They're not lifting weights. They're throwing balls.
Well, they're doing a little bit of everything. They lift weights.
Have you been here during ball throwing time?
I have not.
I think.
Are you sure everyone's allowed out there?
Have you been here during ball throwing
I've
time?
I've not seen ball throwing
the
time.
The noise is unbelievable. I think he's trying to tear down the stadium.
Oh, you're talking about inside here?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have not been here.
Well, and it's not balls. I mean, they're medicine balls.
Okay.
Weighted medicine balls, and it's all part of, I guess they would call that plyometrics, explosive type movements. So, I mean, it's all good. You know, from talking to some of the guys the last couple of days, you know, when the program first started, as most people are, when it's something new that they haven't done, mm-hmm. they're kind of resistant to kind of get on board with it because they haven't done it. And plus, I mean, Luke really put their noses to the grindstone. And so early on, I was like, what do you think of the new strength coach and the program? You know, I got a lot of that. And now what I'm getting is that, man, we like it. I mean, I'm in the best shape of my life.
Because you're seeing results out on
yeah.
the field.
Yeah, but no one has told Luke that they built this stadium on the cheap.
You're saying the balls are going to hit the walls and knock some things loose, huh?
The noise is like you can't believe.
I'll tell you this. You got Vince Monowai coming back from an ACL mm-hmm. who at this time of the year looks like Vince could – also do a side sumo gig. I mean, he's usually pretty big. Vince Monowai is rehabbing, so he's somewhat limited. Vince Monowai looks fantastic.
And in minicamp, he had a serious limp. He started minicamp with
it's coming, though.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming around. But, I mean, if you look at Vince and you see him just walk by, I'm not mm-hmm. talking about his movement skills because all that will come. Mm-hmm. But when you see Vince walk by, you go, man, mm-hmm. This looks in pretty good shape.
How's John Henderson's shoulder coming, Jeff?
Well, that's obviously going to be,
it's gonna be
an ongoing topic.
It's a grade two, so it's not as bad as a grade three, but it's better than a grade one, right?
Well, he didn't. Well,
I love the way you break it down.
A lot of people wondering what he did on
two is between one and three
on Monday's practice. He did some individual drill, and then the team drills, he was completely out of it.
Yeah.
And Tuesday, he didn't do anything. He was completely on the side and favoring his shoulder when he was running and everything else. And,
all right, let's boil it down here now. A week ago, you said that Thursday was going to be a very dramatic day. And John
was.
Right. And John was able to diffuse it by saying that he's all in.
Said all the right things.
Right. But this week, he's still not back out onto the field, so nothing really has changed.
Well, he told us last Thursday that the doctor would look at his shoulder on Monday, meaning this past Monday of this week, which gave us the reason to believe that Tuesday he would be on the field for the start of the next to last week of OTA's drum roll. So I'm assuming that the doctor looked at it, and Tuesday he was not on the field. And Wednesday, he was not. No, I'm sorry. Monday, he was to have it looked at. So we assumed he would be on the field for Tuesday, which would be the second OTA's day of this week. So we assumed that he would miss Monday and be on the field Tuesday, but he wasn't on the field Tuesday. And
yeah, you know, this is.
And there seemed to be an edge to Coach Del Rio's comments.
With the broadcast media yesterday, he tried to laugh it off a little bit. I had some fun with it on TV last night, but I still was kind of wondering what was going through his head.
I just, you know, whenever you have a player who says he's hurt, and to dispute that, I'm not ready to jump on that yet.
No, you can't. You can't do that because what you're doing is you're calling the player.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
You're calling the player
a liar.
A liar, a sissy, whatever, you know, soft or not dedicated. Let's say that. Not completely dedicated.
Right. John says he's got a grade two shoulder separation.
John, you got it. And Coach Del Rio clearly thinks that it is not significant enough to miss practice. Now, Coach Del Rio said last Thursday, I'm not changing my stance on this. And he hasn't. He has. In other words, John had his say, and he said it very, very eloquently, and he said, I'm in. You know, count me in. I mean, he left no doubt in any of our minds that he's bought into all this rededication, and that's great. But it clearly sounded on Tuesday from Coach Del Rio's comments that he wants his star defensive tackle to be participating.
Yeah, you didn't get the feeling that everything was on the same page, you know?
Right.
And
there's still disappointment there.
So, the one thing that we do know, it's something to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is...
You said it to me. You said it to me as we were coming off the field Tuesday. You said, you know, we haven't heard the last of this.
No.
And then we went down for the media interviews, and that only confirmed what you had said to me.
Something to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, there's more to talk about, including a high-dollar draft choice. Top five has signed today. Tell you about Mark Sanchez and his contract with the Jets right after this. News Talk Radio WOKV.
And as Brian had alluded to before he went off to do TV, there was big news, I guess you could say, with when it comes to signing draft picks, because a top five quarterback is reportedly agreed to terms, and that's Mark Sanchez, the fifth overall pick out of University of Southern California, and supposedly has signed or has agreed to the deal in which it's at least $30 million guaranteed.
You know, Jeff, last year, Jaguars were sitting there at, I guess it was number eight. They had traded up. They take Derek Harvey. Of course, the Jets were right up ahead of them, and they took Vernon Golston. Pass rusher. Jaguars take pass rusher, and then the Jets just, I mean, they just sunk.
Broke the mold.
They just sunk everybody's battleship by giving Golston just an unconscionable deal. And it caused Harvey to miss all of training camp. It caused Harvey to get a contract that is...
I want to say this. That kind of started it, the right. Golston deal, but then the Ellis deal in New Orleans
didn't
help.
But the Ellis deal was a result of Golston.
Right.
You know...
But the Saints had an opportunity to end it there.
Now,
and
here,
they didn't do it.
That's right. Somebody had to hold the line, and the Jaguars tried. But how are you going to hold the line? You're the only one of 32. They had no help. Let's put it this way: they were only one of eight. All the teams, counting them and those above them. This year, they're sitting at Monroe? It was the eighth pick of the draft, too. All right, so they're sitting at eight again. And they were looking ahead of them, and they see no Jets.
Woohoo! No Jets.
No Jets. They see Bengals. They see Browns. Were the Bengals ahead of them? Yes, the Bengals.
Yeah, because they took the offensive tackle from Alabama.
Right. Exactly. They saw Bengals. They saw Browns. Yeah. They saw Detroit, St. Louis, Kansas City, Seattle, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Oakland. A lot of small market teams, not big spenders. All right, baby. You know,
good to go.
Yeah. And lo and behold, down goes Cleveland, which trades with the Jets, who jump up ahead of the Jaguars. And who's the first out of the blocks to sign their draft, their top pick, and give him, of course, King's ransom? There's no question about it. The Jets.
Yep.
And now they've set the going rate, although he's a quarterback, so it's never the going rate. But nonetheless, it's ahead of the Jaguars, and it's going to set the tempo. And Uzeh Monroe is a left tackle, a premium position player right away.
Who is his agent?
I did
know. Do you know offhand?
Yeah, I did know that. I did know that. Okay. He is I'm sorry. I can find out. I've got it in my story from draft day. But right away, the Jaguars are in a tough spot. Sanchez is signed, and have the figures made it to print yet?
No. Rich Cimini, who writes for the New York Daily News, is the beat writer for them.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have it yet? He was covering the team from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the numbers. He's just saying that likely at least $30 million in guaranteed money. Which, you know, I mean, it's a quarterback position. They're going to get premium dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Does that impact the Jaguars as much as Golston did last year? No. But
no.
It certainly doesn't help.
And, you know, they can't afford. Uzeh Monroe is going to be this team's starting left tackle this year, whether it's from day one or
game three or four, whatever.
Exactly. And they really need this guy to be a hero on time. They can't afford to go through this again, where their top pick misses training camp.
Can I give you an observation on Uzeh Monroe? You know, when you have a rookie come in, and you basically have the eighth pick overall going against each other from one year to the next. You know, Derek Harvey from 08, and then you have obviously the big man from Virginia this year.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that, typically you can look at the matchup if somebody just came off the street as a scout,
mm-hmm,
and looked at those two go against each other.
And they should be the same.
And not the same. You would expect the veteran might have an occasional flash,
mm-hmm,
showing the rookie a little bit of the ropes.
Right.
I think it's kind of the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I think Monroe has kind of shown Derek Harvey a few things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that tells me one thing. They hit on Uzeh Monroe. And it tells me another thing. Is Derek Harvey progressed from year one to year two? I don't know.
Have you seen anything on the field in OTAs? And I shouldn't be asking this question because they're OTAs. And guys who wear pads and play with their shoulders, which is to say they're in the physical part of the game, probably definitely should not be judged by OTAs. But based on what you've seen in OTAs, is there anything that's encouraging you?
He looks okay. I will say that. It's not that I'm looking at what Derek Harvey's doing on the field and going, gosh, he's just not great. He's shown some things. He's shown he's working harder than I've seen him work, and I like that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have that, you got a chance. You know, am I seeing flashes of great athleticism that just make you go, wow?
And that's like what we're supposed to see.
Because Tony Brackens did that for me way back when. I mean, there were flashes that Brackens had that make you go, oh, my
God. But that's what we're
supposed to. Did he just catch that ball at 5 yards? The quarterback was trying to throw a rope?
But that's what we're supposed to be seeing in Derek Harvey, because he's certainly not a bull type of player. He's not a bull rusher. He's a he's going to be an athlete rusher, is he not?
I mean, we're seeing some things. I want to see more.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lay my complete judgment on Derek Harvey until the pads go on. But I think this more speaks volumes about Eugene Monroe than it does about Derek Harvey. And on another note to that, Eben.
You say Eben, I say Eben.
Okay, we'll get the correct pronunciation because we don't want to have him go through his career like David Girard. But last week, he didn't practice a couple days. Britton did not. Mm-hmm. This week, he's been practicing, and he's playing. He's taking reps at right tackle, and he's taking reps at right guard. And he has looked very good.
Especially at right tackle. At guard, I don't think he looks the part, but at tackle, he's a natural.
I think he looks good at either one. And so this is going to be one of the things. He may be their best right tackle eventually, but it might give them their best five for him to be at guard. You know what I mean? So that's going to be interesting to watch. All right, let's go to the phones. Jeff has got a phone call wanting to ask some questions about the defensive tackles. Good evening, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, thank you.
Good. Just wanted to know what the outlook is for the defensive tackles in free agency or on the market if Henderson didn't cooperate.
Well, Henderson would have trade value. There's no doubt in my mind. The big guys are always at a premium, and I'm not saying you could get a second-round, third-round pick for him, but I who knows? Maybe you could get something pretty good. Maybe you could get a... Maybe you could get a three. Maybe you could get a four or five. I would be more inclined to think round four or five.
But the important thing, and I think this is what, Jeff, you're really getting at, you're not going to go out and get a veteran guy for this year.
No, you
pretty much got what you got.
No. I mean, there's got to be – there's going to have to be some kind of – I don't know how to describe it, a patch – a makeup between Coach Del Rio and Henderson. There's got to be some kind of a reunion, so to speak, because right now I don't think that John Henderson is pleasing his coach.
Well, the area of most – or the area that concerns me the most on defense, I think the linebacker group is very solid. Clint Ingram, by the way, has looked fantastic.
Out of this world.
Fantastic. Really seems to be taking on a leadership role. Justin Durant, you know, is very gifted. And so the linebacking group, secondary looks very solid. The defensive line is the number one concern.
No question. It is absolutely without a doubt.
The production of that unit as a whole, defense, is going to depend, in my opinion, on three people in a big way. John Henderson.
Harvey.
Derek Harvey. Quentin Groves. I mean, that's your first and your second-round pick from last year, and obviously a high pick who's played at an incredible level 3 years ago.
I think you're attaching too much importance to Groves. I don't think that expectation
But he's a second-round pick.
Yeah, but I don't think that expectation exists.
Well, from where?
I don't think that their expectation for him is as critical as yours is. I don't think they expect him to impact this team this year as much as you
But as a second-round pick. 1 year ago, that has to have expectations. It may not be there, but a second-round pick has to be one of the cornerstones, not the cornerstone, but one of the foundation, the pillars of a side of a ball. And so I think he's got to develop. But anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll give the control back to Sexton.
Here we go, second half hour now, actually second 22 minutes. You can join us 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We are live inside WOKV Jaguar Central, and Tom joins us on the phone lines from the Mandarin area. Tom, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. I appreciate your taking my call. I'm enjoying the show as always. By the way, I'm a proud possessor of a Hey Joe bobblehead.
Sweet.
Yeah, and, you know, like Joe, I think it's humorous, and it has kind of a classic Roman profile, and I'll leave it at that.
The nose on the bobblehead doll is right on the money.
That Roman is a very kind way of saying it.
Are you a politician?
Not at all, not in the least. It just seemed appropriate somehow. Look, I'm a kind of a moderate football fan, but I'm a staunch a radio junkie, I guess you might say. And I prefer to hear my sports on the radio and don't watch it on the tube generally. And, in fact, I go back so far that I remember listening to a very young, excited, and earnest broadcaster, I think on WOKV, announcing humbly one day, but with clear elation about just having been selected as the Jags play-by-play man.
Are you a season ticket holder?
I'm not that old.
are you a season ticket holder?
I am not currently, although I have been in the past.
Then you're going to love this season.
Oh, good. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
He's going to be listening to a lot of radio.
Yeah, I see what you mean about that, and that's unfortunate because I think that hurts and just diminishes the team, the town, and everything else. That's a real shame. I wish they'd amend that. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I really think they should because it hurts football.
Amend what?
Jaguars.
Amend what?
Well, you know, the blackout rule, of course.
But the idea is to sell tickets. I mean, the idea...
Well, I understand. But if the idea is also to keep kind of grow the franchise, it's really quite the opposite effect, I think, takes place in that regard.
Nah. Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more. I grew up, when I grew up, all home games were blacked out, period. It didn't matter how many tickets were sold, and they grew the franchises just fine.
Well, I'll defer to your expertise in that regard, Vic, and that's kind of why I called. I wanted to tell you that it's been, you know, I've since the 8 days of AM 600 The Ball, I've been listening, you know, back when Bill Riley and later the addition of Cole Pepper to anchor the Sunday Jaguars radio network. I enjoy your historical perspective, particularly, Vic, and the knowledge that you afford on .com and on the radio all over town. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Brian's play-by-play, and actually the last few years, football is becoming more understandable to me by the color perspective and the frame-by-frame, play-by-play tape breakdown that no one does better than Jeff.
But, I agree.
You know, for me, as a football sort of a neophyte, I've also enjoyed the perspective, the wit and personality, and the lack of pretense in some cases that you know, your compadre Cole has contributed to both OKV and the Jaguars over the years. Football, to me, is not brain surgery, and it's not a great leap forward for mankind, either one. It's sports. It's great diversionary entertainment, and I've enjoyed, you know, all the great work for me. This year, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, or if you can even comment.
We feel like you are right on the money.
I was going to say, everybody stop for a second. We're going to roll that. That's going to be a commercial.
I'll tell you what. I will say something on this, because Cole has been my partner on the Monday Jaguars Reporters Show for
years.
Several years. It's a show that I have loved to do. It has that day-after-the-game quality to it, and I'm going to miss the heck out of it.
Is that show gone? Do we know? No, it may change. We don't know. We don't know.
Who am I going to do it with this year?
Maybe Cole.
Yeah, maybe Cole. We don't know. We're still waiting to find out.
TBD.
I'll be doing it with Cole.
To be determined.
Except Cole won't be getting benefits. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have the benefit of working
fair.
With you.
That's fair.
Tom, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 355-NFL-1. We promised we'd stay away from the ticket sales aspect of it.
By the way, one of the things that me and Vic had talked about in the last segment, and I know you were talking about how the Jets kind of messed the Jaguars up last year, you know, and we really didn't go too much into it as far as this year's concerned. Could you ask for a better team to have drafted a same positional player as you have than the Cincinnati Bengals?
Sitting two spots ahead of you with Andre Smith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you got the right team there because the Bengals are a frugal franchise, to say the least.
But that could be a problem, though. I mean, it could be of great...
They're going to set the price.
Well, it could be of great benefit, and it also could be a problem because Andre Smith has had an agent, fired him, hired another guy, and then fired that guy, went back to another guy, and... That could get ugly and not get done until late. If that doesn't get done until late, how does Eugene Monroe's agent feel about doing a deal with the other one not having been done?
Oh, no, someone's going to set it, so it's either going to be Monroe or Smith.
The only good thing is that usually the agent who is at a higher position doesn't wait for the lower waits for the lowers to go. It's not vice versa.
There's no way out of this.
Eugene
Monroe has got them by the proverbial shorty.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you're the agent, you've got the sixth guy, the sixth pick overall. you're going to kind of wait until the eighth overall pick would do his deal to make sure you get more. The eighth won't necessarily wait for the sixth because they know they're not going to get as much. So I think they're in a good position.
I'm with you. They're in a good position because Sanchez isn't a left tackle. Mm-hmm. If Sanchez was a left tackle and sitting out there with the Jets, oh my, you know, like last year with Golston, it would be a death march to getting the deal done. You would have to if the Jets had drafted a left tackle, the Jaguars would have had to, in my opinion, if I had been them, I'd have been panic stricken to get it done before the Jets.
If they had drafted a left tackle, you might have stayed away from the position.
Let's say they had drafted DeBrickashaw Ferguson this year.
Oh. You might not have drafted Eugene Monroe.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money.
I mean, I want to get the deal done.
But.
Pronto.
Didn't happen. So that's a good thing.
355-NFL-1. Phone lines are ringing. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with one more segment to this fine radio program. Jaguars this week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Rolling right along, got about 9 minutes left in the show, and a variety of topics up for grabs. In fact, we'll be honest with you. In the dead zone, anything is fair game, unless we don't like it, and then we hang up on you. Let's go to Vantan, who joins us from the north side. Hello, Vantan. What's hanging
in there? How you guys doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
I got a question about Rashad Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he can make an impact on the team this year?
Let me tell you how good he looks. I mean, he looks so good, you can't believe it. Now, he can't possibly be this good when the pads go on, because nobody can be this good.
Well, if he's that good, he'd be in the first round.
I mean, Brian, he has a burst.
Yeah, I saw
him. He has a lean. He has a shiftiness to him that guys from Liberty aren't supposed to have.
I think I told you that.
I mean, he
catches.
Did you see him in the Senior Bowl?
I'm always kind of... God, I worry about just, you know, going overboard about a guy.
Right, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, it is June and it's OTAs and they're not in pads. But he has looked exceptionally well. I mean, he's looked so good. I actually waited for Kennedy Poland to come off the field. And I said, hey, Kennedy, running backs coach for the Jaguars. Hey, Kennedy, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? I mean, does he look that good, or is it just me maybe being overly excited? Kennedy said, oh, he looks good. I said, is it going to stay true when the pads go on? Kennedy's response was, I expect it to get better because he's a big back. Looks fantastic.
Oh,
hey, I walked onto the field in Mobile.
At this point, he looks really good.
Hey, did you happen to hear Maurice Jones-Drew's response to a question about him?
Yes. It's great. I know right where you're going.
I found it to be suspiciously edgy.
Mm,
he said,
"That's a good thing."
He said, "I'm scared."
I thought you're talking about it when he called him a kid, and he goes, "Well, I can't call him a kid."
But
he's only 3 days younger than me.
But he said, "I'm scared. He has me worried. I better watch out." You know, it just I don't know. It kind of struck me like a nervous kind of a response. I think he sees that the guy can play.
They roomed together before the draft down in South Florida. He was working out of that perfect competition where Fred and Maurice work out.
Mm-hmm.
So they've known each other. I mean, he took the kid in and took him under his wing. And then, of course, he got drafted in the seventh round. But I kind of saw it because I knew that they lived together, that it was Maurice now playing Fred. And he told me, Jennings said the other day, he said, look, the guy is showed me how to be a pro, which is the same thing that Maurice said about Fred.
Maurice Jones-Drew has a great media savvy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good in Q&A, and he's almost presidential.
Yeah, he likes to tweak.
Yeah, but
he wasn't real smooth on this answer. I mean, he got caught off guard on this one, and I think he kind of showed that the guy does have his attention.
He should have his attention.
Why was he a seventh round
pick? He's got a lot of people's attention.
That's what I've been told.
He looks like a third round pick to a lot of
people. There is nothing not to like, except he played at Liberty, which is Division I AA, but...
Well, he was a Pitt signee, so it's not like he didn't get a sniff.
His freshman year, now he was a gray shirt at Pitt.
Okay.
He wasn't
a gray shirt?
They enroll in January instead of in September, so they get a whole spring practice under their belt, and then they get their red shirt season, and then they get another spring practice under their belt before they play. So he had two spring practices under his belt I believe, before he put on the uniform, which he did his freshman year. I guess it would have been his redshirt freshman year. That's why he's actually only a few days younger
than
or
Maurice,
older,
3 days.
Or older. Is it older or younger?
Maurice is 3 days older than Rashad.
Right. So they're the same age, but and Maurice is going into his, what, third or fourth year? Maurice is going into his fourth year? Brian?
Maurice is going into his fourth year.
Okay. So Maurice is going into his fourth year. This guy's going into his first year, but Maurice is only a few days older than Jennings because he was a gray shirt at Pitt. But he his last game at Pitt, his freshman year against West Virginia, he was very, very good. I mean, there was no question that they knew they had a good player. And then his father, you know, lost a leg to diabetes, and the kid went home, which says something about his character.
Right.
And
I've been told, Vic, along the lines of character, I've been told that he has definitely taken a leadership role among rookies.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I may have said this story already. I went to the Senior Bowl. I walked on the field because Jack and his staff were coaching, and I see this kid running with the ball with flames on his helmet, and I didn't recognize the helmet. And I said, who the heck is that? That's the kid from Liberty. I mean, it was dazzling to watch him practice in pads because there's this big guy running downhill.
He's big.
Against the best of the best.
3 straight years, 1,000 yards or more rushing at Liberty.
6'1", 235.
That's without pads on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot him up.
Big back. Big back, north-south back.
Folks, stop by Football Fanatics at the Avenues Mall next Saturday between 11 to 1. That's the 20th. And have your Jaguars merchandise signed by kicker Josh Scobie. He will be there between 11 and 1 on the 20th. Make a great Father's Day gift. And then this just in, get your Jaguars news as it happens by texting alerts to 58154. 58154. That's keyword alert to 58154 to receive Jaguars news and information straight to your mobile phone. Standard messaging charges apply. Text stop to quit. Is that you tweeting? Is that what that is?
What?
Whoa, what?
What are you talking about?
You tweet.
That's
right?
Not Vic tweeting then.
Noise.
I know.
The only thing I know about tweeting is there was a Tweety Bird and a cat.
Oh, I got a Twitter account now, mister.
Do you do it?
Yeah, once a day I say something.
This is
what
Vic.
Do you say?
I'm getting more coffee.
How you doing?
I don't know what.
I'm going to do when the season begins and I get little tidbits
you're
of information,
gonna,
I'll dump
it
in
there. Is it tweet or twit?
I don't know.
You're going to do one of those?
Jeff, I don't know what you're. I
this
write,
is who's on first, isn't it? No, what's on third?
I got like 140 characters. I can write something, you know. And,
okay.
I'll say I'm going out in the field to watch practice. You know, if so anything happens, I'll let you know.
Well, that's blogging. To be honest
it's,
with you, I don't know.
It's a
more instantaneous. It sends it out to, you know, cell phones to people who sign on to follow you.
Oh,
it's,
that's what tweeting is?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a question.
It's a subscribe
it says,
blog.
What are you doing? You're supposed to tell people what are you doing. I'm sitting at my desk, you know, trying sitting at my desk trying to justify my salary.
I'm sitting at my desk and I'm angry.
I can see Vic tweeting.
My glass is half empty.
Going to get another hot dog. This game is boring me.
Thanks for the call, Vantine. That was a good question because that's kind of where I wanted to go.
Well, we talked about Maurice and Rashad. What about Greg Jones? Is he
looks
just
good.
Going to be a fullback now?
Looks very good.
I mean, they talked about giving him the ball some, but now that this kid's here,
well,
do
I mean,
they need
if all of a sudden, you know, 23 looks fantastic, then Greg Jones is a fullback.
I don't know why he has to be anything more. He's one of the top fullbacks in the league. Why isn't that good enough?
It is to me.
Well, I think they were just using it as an example of someone they could give the ball to when Fred went away.
But the head coach likes Greg Jones.
So does Kennedy Poland
to
now.
Carry the ball.
Yeah.
Could they trade him for a backup quarterback?
That's a good topic for next week because
they need to get young and better at that position.
Most importantly, what you said. Secondly,
you know,
they need to get better at that position.
Todd Bauman had a real, real good practice Tuesday. Coach Del Rio said that. But yeah. Todd Bauman's what, 48? I mean, no offense, but
he's been
around
a bit,
long time.
Oh, come on, Vic. Just because he's got a receding hairline doesn't mean he's 48.
This is no offense. He is a plum signing for a team that is desperate.
Right.
But
he
they
insurance.
Need to get young at that position, and I don't know where that's coming from.
By the way, just a little note here. I don't know if you even saw it. You probably did. And was it Monday's practice? You see the little kind of Not quite fisticuffs, but, you know, kind of a, I'm a veteran, you're a rookie, and the rookie saying, no, I'm going to hold my ground kind of a thing here. You know, two testosterone-filled men trying to mark their territory. Do you remember that? No. Tyquan Underwood.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian Williams.
Yeah, I saw that.
Got a little tangled up.
Yeah.
And neither one of them were willing to let go. No fists.
You heard about the scuffle at OTAs up in Atlanta, right? They had three separate fights.
I heard about it. Smitty's going to break out the boxing gloves for the boys.
Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. You're on Jaguars This Week, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.